Mr. Chris Hughes, are you with us?
I'm here. I'm just laughing.
Well, you're laughing all the way to the bank now, so we're thrilled for you.
Thank you.
Oh, it's just so ridiculous. You know, $1,400. Just wow, life. I feel so grateful. I'm so thankful.
Well, if you will, Chris, I know tonight we're going to set this up more as like a Q&A, and if you can speak up a little, you're a little bit hard to hear. So, but, you know, when you were in the world of life before Legal Shield, I know it seems too far ago to even hardly remember. Well, first of all, how long have you been in Legal Shield?
15 years. I started September 15th, 1999.
And what was your background before Legal Shield?
Well, I was 27 years old. I was a college dropout. I'd done every gross job you can do, from washing dishes, bussing tables, roofing houses, painting houses, picking up trash at construction sites, spraying chemicals on used appliances to clean them up, get them ready for resale, worked at a car wash. I mean, you know, just nasty, hardworking jobs. And I dropped out of college and had made the decision that I wasn't going to go back. And so I was really feeling trapped in my life. There was this incredible desperation because I didn't have any money. I didn't have a degree. I didn't have any plans for the future. And yet I was getting older. And so, you know, that was what was going on in the foreground of my life. In the background, my dad had just been fired from corporate America after 40 years. He did what he was supposed to do. You know, he went into the big company, worked for 40 years, and right before Christmas, 2 weeks before Christmas, 6 months before retirement, they fired him, and they fired all the 60-year-olds in his department and replaced him with 30-year-olds earning a third of the salary. So I was in a pinch. You know, I just thought, oh, my gosh, like that plan that Dad told me about, that's not even working. So, yeah, I was in a really vulnerable, desperate situation before I saw Legal Shield.
Wow. So let's tell everybody, if you will, tonight, how did you come upon Legal Shield? How did it fall in your lap, or did it, or what happened?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I've ever told this story, but it's such a cool story. I was waiting tables at Chili's, and then I quit that job. I ended up coming back later before I found Legal Shield, but I was working at Chili's, waiting tables. I quit that job, and I was I started working for an ice company. And I had to have a car to run routes at that job, and my car blew up. So the radiator blew up, and I didn't have money to fix it. So now I'm carless, and I get a job at a personal development company. It's crazy how this worked out in my life. But I go to work for this company called High Performance Network in Dallas, Texas. And basically what they did is they sold season tickets to motivational speakers like Jim Rohn, Les Brown, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and on and on and on, Les Brown and others. And I had no idea who any of those people were, by the way, and I didn't care who they were. I thought people that went to seminars were morons. And, it's just funny how things have changed. But I can remember thinking, who buys this stuff? You know, like who comes and watches these self-proclaimed expert, you know? It was just, oh, gosh, you talk about stinking thinking. I mean, no wonder I lived in the ghetto. But so I go to work for that company. I was doing inside sales. I was miserable at the job and ended up quitting after just a couple of weeks and going back to Chili's. But the important part of the story, while I was there, I did listen to some of those audios. And, in fact, I was listening to Jack Canfield, who is the mega best-selling author of Chicken Soup for the Soul and a whole bunch of other best-selling books. And one of his audios was called Self-Esteem and Peak Performance. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I don't really have self-esteem, and I'm not performing at anywhere near a peak level. So I thought I should probably listen to this. And I did. And as a matter of fact, the owner of the company let me keep those audios even after I quit. I listened to them over and over and over again. I went back to Chili's. And one of the things I heard in that book in that audio was a recommendation to read the book Think and Grow Rich. So I read the book Think and Grow Rich, and I learn about the mastermind concept of how, you know, two or more minds brought together creates a third more powerful mind. And I introduced this concept to my brothers, and I said, we should do it. We should do a mastermind. We should get together once a week and just be positive. Just share ideas and network, and, you know, what ideas do you have and what ideas do you have? And I had no idea what I was doing, and they didn't have any idea either, and they agreed. They said, this sounds great. Let's do a weekly mastermind. So we had our first mastermind. I'll have to send you guys this. I think you'll find it interesting, Frank and Teresa. We actually have a printout of the agenda from our first Hughes Family Mastermind. And, I mean, it was all typed out, and we passed it out to everybody in the room. We kind of talked about the rules and, you know, you can't be negative. And, I mean, this whole thing, in my opinion, is a God thing, because we had even established rules in this mastermind that even if somebody brings the dumbest idea you've ever heard, and by the way, the focal point of the mastermind was to make our lives better. It was to figure out ways to become more successful in our lives as a family. So our first mastermind, we established these rules, and then between our first mastermind and our second mastermind, we get a phone call from our brother Jeff, who says he wants to show us something. And it was at our second mastermind where Jeff's wife Cindy pulled out a video about the company. They put it in, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow. So all of you came on board that night?
Yeah, in that room was Jeff and Cindy Hughes, Jeff's the second of six kids. And my older brothers, Mike and David, were there with their wives. I was in the room, but I was single at the time. So it was 2, 4, 6. It was the seven of us. Jeff and Cindy had already decided they were going to do this. They had already seen the brochure. They went to a business briefing, and they loved it. And they got this video, and they told their sponsor, or who would later become their sponsor, hey, this all sounds good, but we want to tell our brothers about it and see what they think about it. And his sponsor, being wise and having just come back from a convention, said, no, don't tell them about it. You'll mess it up. She said, take this video and just show them. And so he said, fine. And he had that video. He showed us. And this was the time, Teresa, that I knew I was going to become successful in Legal Shield. It was in this moment I'm about to share with you, because when the video was done, I recall looking at my brother Mike and his wife Sherry, and my brother Dave and his wife Sherry, they both married Sherry, and just saying, you know, I'm in. Are y'all in? And everybody's like, I'm in. You know, like, awesome. We're in. And then we looked at Jeff, and this is the moment that I knew I'd do well in Legal Shield, because we said, Jeff, we're in. What do we do now? And Jeff said, I don't know. I'm not in yet. And, you know, that told me, to me, when he said that, it was like the heavens opened, the angels were singing, you know, it was this, oh, you know, like, oh, my gosh, because I was so beat up, you know, because I didn't have a degree. I didn't have any money. I didn't know any, you know, quote unquote, you know, successful people. And I realized in that moment, Jeff never said anything about this business. He never said anything about the membership or the comp plan or the corporate history. He didn't say any of that stuff. All they did was put a video in, and five people said yes as soon as the video was over. So Jeff
you
said,
got it.
I don't know. I'm not in yet, but there's a guy in Dallas, Texas. I'm sure he can help us get going. You know, this is Patrick Shaw he was referring to, who was running the market in Dallas, and he said he can probably help us get going. So we put on a suit. We drove out to Dallas, Texas on the next Thursday night. I fell in love with the presentation, and back then it was $249, which I didn't have, and I had to save my money for several weeks before I got started. But finally, yep, I came up with my money. I got started, and just to let you know what happened, you know, it's a few hundred dollars right out of the gate, nothing to brag about. By my 6 month, it was like $1,000 a month. By the end of the year, I was making over $5,000 a month. And by the end of my second year, over $10,000 a month. By the end of my third year, you know, we'd gotten over $20,000 in a month. And so it's just incredible. You know, I really do. I look at the story in awe because we didn't know what we were doing, but we followed the system. You know, thank goodness I had a good sponsor who did it right, who had a good sponsor who did it right. And so we just followed that process. You know, we use third-party tools to expose Legal Shield to people. And if they're interested, we get them to a live event. And if they sign up at the live event, we get them third-party tools. And then they go share that with people. And if they find anyone who's interested, they bring them to the third-party event. Or excuse me, to the live event. And that was it. It was tools and events, tools and events. It was the 1-2 punch that we were using then and still using today after 15 years in the business.
I love that story. Now, of your family, how many brothers have come into Legal Shield, and how many have earned over $100,000?
Well, there's six kids in the family, and five boys and one girl. And ironically, the one who broke the record in our family to executive director was my little sister, or my only sister. Yeah, she did it in like, I can't remember. It was like 13 days or 17 days. It was some ridiculous story that, you know, never heard before. But you know, we were all in, and so we told her what to do and what not to do, and she just came in and hit the ball really hard. And, yeah, so she hit executive. Then my other brother, Mike, was as high, I think his highest level attained as silver executive director. And then David went platinum, got the platinum jacket. He's a six-figure ring earner and a millionaire club member. And then there's Jeff. Jeff has been platinum, a six-figure ring earner, millionaire club member, regional vice president in Virginia. And then my oldest brother, you know, he got to a quarter million a year, millionaire club member, platinum jacket earner. And then my wife and I, same thing, quarter million dollar earners, millionaire club members, platinum jacket earners. So four out of the five brothers all became millionaires. And of course, my brother Mike is still getting paid. You know, he's a chiropractor, but he still has his business and still has his residuals and still recruits from time to time. And matter of fact, I just talked to him the other day, and he's thinking about firing this thing back up again, even though he's a full-time, got a million-dollar a year clinic, chiropractic clinic up in northern Colorado. So pretty incredible, you know. I mean, to have that much success in one family is a testament to the power of the Legal Shield system, you know, where if you find a family, a team, an individual that are hungry, that are coachable and willing to work, and they've got a desire to do better for themselves, you plug them into the Legal Shield system, and, you know, you see the fruits of success all over the place in Legal Shield.
Oh, that's a great
story. I love your story.
Let me ask you another question, Chris. How many exposures do you think you guys are doing a day? Were you doing two a day, five a day, ten a day at that time? Because I know y'all were on a real run.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I wish that I would have kept better records. But, you know, I can remember many days feeling badly about myself because I didn't do any exposures that day. So I know that I, you know, I wasn't doing everything perfectly like I should. But then I also remember doing, you know, 20 exposures in one day. But all averaged out, you know, I would say easily, you know, we were doing on average maybe 3, 4, 5 would be the sweet spot, you know, exposures. But like I said, you know, we used to go on these runs. So, like, we would go into cities sometimes and just have a heyday and just say, let's see how many people we can talk to. And, of course, we were always working our warm market. I'm a big believer in warm market. I believe that the relationships in your warm market becomes the mortar in your business, and you know, that holds the business together. I've seen a lot of people recruit explicitly in the cold market, and it's really hard, you know, to keep that organization. It can be, not always, but it certainly can be. But yeah, I just remember going different places, and we might knock out 10, 15, 20 exposures in one day. So, but what I can tell you, Frank, is that we did a lot of things we probably shouldn't have done, just because the system wasn't as firmly established. What we did right was the tools and events, but, you know, we did a lot of things wrong. But the fact was, the point is that we were doing something, you know, and I tell my team all the time, I'd rather have you do it wrong than not do it enough. And the one thing that you could never accuse the Hughes family of is not doing it enough. I mean, man, we were doing it. We did as much as we could. We were just collectively, we were so fired up about this business. You know, I mean, we were giddy all the time. And every time we got together, we get together 3 or 4 times a week for lunch. And we joke because we ate so much Mexican food in those early days. And, you know, we're like, why do we always eat Mexican? And it's like, because they have free chips. You know, like anywhere we could get free calories, you know, that you'd see us there. But Yeah, we were super busy. You know, and I would say this too, Frank. I think this is an important part of the story, that I would say at least half of the time, if not three quarters of my work time, was spent with me, and my team used to make fun of me because they would see me all over Fort Worth, Texas, with my Walkman. Back in the day, you know, I had a Walkman. I listened to audio tapes. And I'd be out walking around the neighborhood, walking around Fort Worth, and my team would see me, and they'd honk and wave. But I was so insecure, and I was so worried about my future, and I was so scared to talk to prospects. Even though I was doing it, I was very fearful. And so I tried to stay wired up to personal development every moment that I could, because I was rebuilding my philosophy. I was rebuilding my beliefs about life. I was rebuilding myself, my self-esteem, my psyche, my self-image, my self-worth. And so I was, any spare moment, man, I would wire up and listen to something positive, educational, motivational, inspirational, just to kind of increase my energy, to increase my vibration, if you will, because I'm a big believer in that. You know, I mean, when you're down and out, depressed and despondent, your energy is communicating with other people that are in the same vibratory condition, that are in the same place that you are. And so every day I worked really hard to increase my frequency and my excitement, my enthusiasm, where I literally could feel this energy reverberating, you know, in and through me and out of me into the universe. And so many wonderful things happened to me early on. I really believe that I attracted those things because of the place that I purposefully put myself in every day by listening to those audios. And then the final comment, and I'll pass it back over to you guys for more questions, Avenue, is because I didn't have any accomplishments in my life to point to. You know, I mean, think about it. I was in high school for 6 years. I had three senior years. It was ridiculous, but I finally graduated, and I was really proud of that because a lot of my friends dropped out and got a GED. And for me, you know, for me, the right thing to do was to finish. That was really important to me, and I finished high school. And then I was a missionary for my church, and that was another accomplishment because that wasn't an easy thing to do. But from the time I was about 22 years old, to the time I found Legal Shield at 27 years old, I had no real accomplishments. I mean, really nothing had happened in my life. Just one failure after another. You know, started college, quit college. Started college again, quit college again. Started college again, quit college again. Jumped from job to job to job to job. Couldn't find the woman of my dreams. You know, just a bunch of girls that I'd been dating and, you know, failed relationships. And so really there was this pattern in my life that said, you know, you're not doing well, and you're not a finisher, and you're not somebody who accomplishes things. And this is why I teach all the time that when you make a goal, you need to make it with integrity, because if you keep running your mouth and you miss a goal and you miss it again and you miss it again, this belief sets down inside of you that says that you're someone who doesn't do what you say you're going to do. And you really begin to believe that stuff because you kind of set yourself up for failure. So one of the things that I did every day is I read. You know, I read personal development books. And there was a time, y'all, where I was finishing a book every 2 or 3 days because I loved the way it made me feel. And I really felt like I was rebuilding myself because I was coming from such a low place. And I think one of the reasons why I read so many books in those days is because it was an accomplishment. In a life void of a long list of accomplishments, every time I read a book, my self-esteem soared. I really felt like I had done something meaningful and significant, and it allowed me an opportunity to pat myself on the back and say, you're okay. You know, like, you're on your way. You're not damaged goods. Like, you're doing something with your life. You're not going back to school, and that's fine. You don't have to get a degree, but you got to get an education, and you're doing it. You're educating yourself, and I'm really proud of you. And it was those little baby steps that allowed me to rebuild my self-esteem to the point that I felt good about approaching people who I knew and people I didn't know about joining me in my Legal Shield business.
Well, that's an awesome story.
Yeah, it really is. I think
you know what I noticed in that, Chris?
What's that?
I'm really listening to every word you're saying and trying to figure some stuff out. Up until the time you were 20, all your goals were set by your mom, your dad, your school teachers, and your church, it sounds like. And the minute you the minute you had no goal to run after, nobody to tell you what to go after, you know, you were out there lost. But the minute you sat down on team and y'all set a goal and you got a vision of the future, and then you zoomed out and saw that and zoomed back and took action, and you built that asset. But your whole life was your mom and dad set the goals for you, your school set the goals for you, your church set the goals for you, and the minute you had to get on your own, you wasn't capable of setting the goals yourself until you got together with a mastermind team and y'all all planned something out and then went after it as a team.
You know what? I've never thought about that, Frank, but you're so right. I was floundering. You know, it's like the astronaut
you write it down,
to go to the moon.
If you write down what you said to me a while ago and you told that whole damn story, that was an amazing, amazing story. And what it means is there's a certain age where you have to become the architect of your life, and you're going to design a marriage that works or doesn't work, or you're going to design a financial plan that works or doesn't work, or health plan that works or doesn't work. But you were letting other people be the architect of your life, and the minute they weren't there, you had nothing to build.
That's absolutely right. You know, I mean, it's like these astronauts that go to space. They go to the moon, they come home, and they get depressed. They got to get on drugs. You know, why is that? Because they don't have another goal. I mean, that's a pretty dang big goal to go to the moon. You get there, what else is there to do? And that's where I was. You know, I did everything that everybody had talked about up to that point. You know, finished high school, went to college. I did my mission trip, I came back, and man, I've never thought about that, Frank, but you're right. I floundered, and it wasn't until we purposefully decided on a direction and a destination that things began to happen in my life. Never thought about that before.
This is going to help so many people just hearing your story and then analyzing what happened. I think this will help thousands of people. It's unbelievable what you just told me.
And, you know, there's a difference in just starting your business and having the goal of really making it work. And, you know, and you and your brothers definitely had that. You didn't just pay the $249 and think it was going to happen. I mean, you did it, and you did the system, and you did the tools and the events. And, you know, if everybody just got that tonight, the tools and the events, and just stuck to that, we'd all have winners. We'd all go straight to the top.
Well, most people do exactly what he did. I mean, his parents set the standards. His school set the standard.
The job. A lot of people are at a job, and that set the standard.
And unfortunately, some people get a job where they set the standard for them the rest of their life. And it's so fortunate for you that maybe you didn't have a strong boss that set a goal for you that you stayed there a lifetime, and we would have lost all that talent you have. I'm glad you had that setback.
I was going to ask a question of, you know, what was your biggest challenge and, you know, what's been your biggest reward? But I think you kind of described in the beginning what your biggest challenges were. You know, once you got the ball rolling and you were after the first year, you were up to $5,000 a month and so on and so forth. Since that point, because you continued to grow, you know, if you look back, what was your, once you got through that initial 12 months and you have a base coming in and all of that, you still grew exponentially. And so during the next segment of your Legal Shield life, you know, what would you say your biggest challenge was?
You know, the biggest challenge, I think, was building a business. You know, in the early days, I recruited, I brought people on, I trained people, I was totally in personal development. But then, you know, once you get to executive, now you realize, okay, I've got to put these memberships in the right place, I've got to continue recruiting. And so it was building that business. You know, a lot of people tell stories about, well, it took me X amount of months to get to executive director, and once we hit it, we've never missed. You know, you hear that a lot of times when people are getting their six-figure ring or what have you. Well, that's not my story. You know, it took me 11 and a half months to get to executive, and then I made executive again, and then again, and if you do it 3 months in a row, as y'all know, you get that really nice pin, and that was exciting. And it was like almost like I began to self-sabotage. You know, I was like, okay, I got my pin. I'm making more money than I've ever made in my life. So I started getting lazy and sloppy, and I didn't qualify for executive the next month. And then it was hold my breath and fight like heck, you know, fight like crazy, and I got back to executive. And then I missed it the next month, and I got back the next month, and I missed it the next month, and I got back the next month, and I missed it the next month. And then I got back the next month, and then I missed it, and then I missed it again. And that's when they came and put the 3-day notice on my brother's apartment where he and I were both living with his wife and their daughter. And we were in a really desperate situation. And it was during this whole time, you know, where I had to learn. And I'll say this, that some people hit executive director, but it's the real big names in the company that become an executive director. And there's a big difference between hitting it. And I try to correct my team when they use that word, you know, hey, man, I got to hit ED this month. Like, no. You got to hit ED like you got to get a stick in your eyeball. You know, you don't got to hit ED. You got to become an executive director. We don't want to hit something. We want to become something. We want to grow into that space so that we deserve the income that we're earning, and so that we can keep the income that we're earning, and so that we can grow and expand the income that we're earning. So I would say that was the biggest challenge, was filling the space of that income and continuing to grow and continuing to find better and better and greater ways to bring value to the marketplace, because I understood early on that value and income is attached to service and value, that income is attached to service and value added. And if my income was flat, then I needed to find a way to serve more and to serve better. And so that was that challenge. And I think it was 18 months, y'all, where from the time I hit executive director to the time I became an executive director. So it took me a year to hit ED, and then it took me another year and a half to become an executive director. And my definition of becoming an executive director is when it happens regardless. It happens without any of your personal sales, and it happens every single month from that point forward, then you have become an executive director. And I have been, you know, an executive director of bronze, silver, gold, platinum, platinum, two, platinum, three, ever since.
Chris, that was outstanding.
Yeah.
And we know you got to go. I mean, we know you have another call getting ready to go on here. I can't tell you how much we appreciate what you just did.
Yeah. There's every lesson in the world, in the world of Legal Shield, I think you've just about touched on them all in your story one way or the other.
And I want to just do this. I mean, you said that they met with a mastermind team. The team decided to do tours and events to their warm market.
Right.
To always their warm market, and when they get new people to their warm market. And then his team met two or three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the mastermind group. And every leader I know has built a mastermind group of 1 to 5 or 6 people. We did it with 10 or 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he went from the mastermind group, what we're going after, put the action plan together, then did the action, did the tools and exposures and events, worked with Warren Market, and then met with a mastermind group on a constant basis, and he built this thing up. He didn't do anything by himself. Chris, thank you so much, man. And I'm not trying to get you off. I know you have another call.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. We really appreciate it. And for everybody, I recommend that you go to cshughes.com. Is it .com? I don't have it in front of me. What's your website, Chris?
Yeah, that's it, cshughes.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of videos up, and he's one of the best trainers, speakers you'll ever see in your entire life. You want to get inspired every morning, just go watch one of his videos.
Absolutely. So it's a rich resource right there for everybody that wants to take advantage of it.
And buy his books.
Yeah, they're
just
great.
Buy everything he's got.
And audios. Chris, thank you so very much. Thank you for sharing with
us. Any wrap-up words, Chris? Anything you want to wrap up with?
No, that's it. I just want to say, you know, to everybody listening, just, you know, don't ever take your leadership for granted. I mean, the coins are such fantastic leaders, and I didn't get to say this on the front end, you guys, but I...
Chris?
I think you got cut off.